Sentinel Online. Now loading the Beast Unleashed podcast.
This is Megatron, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast. Oh, yes.
This episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Hello and welcome to the world's first ever Beast Wars Beast Machines Review podcast. This is the Beast Unleashed podcast. We are back, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave Geo Mike, and I'm joined by Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
And Steve Megatron.
Bananas.
Do you have anything better to say than fucking bananas? Hello.
He wants to say bananas. Let him say bananas.
Oh, God. I'm having such a horrible flashback to Beverly Hills Cop with the banana in the tailpipe. Oh.
Only you would think that way. Don't make me any nervies.
Okay. Hey. Knock that shit off, Barney.
Stop that tree. Fucking hippie crap. That's it.
Today we are going to be recapping the entire series of Beast Machines. So we have not done an episode of TBU since the beginning of November. It's December 2nd that we're recording episode 29 here. What's been going on with you guys? Steve, we'll start with you.
The Dirt Glass Audio Project is finally done doing auditions. Thank God. The cast is pretty much nailed down. I just can't release who got what yet. And, yes, so, it's going to be quite interesting indeed with many sound-alikes. That's all I can get into for the most part on the fan project.
Cool.
Can't wait
to hear. What else you been up to?
Just mostly a bunch of audio projects that I keep getting casted in and, getting PredaconEmpire.com back up and running, got my personal site up and running. Obviously, we just did an interview.
Yeah, we just interviewed Bob Skier, or Robert N. Skier, however you prefer to title him as. Was the story editor and writer on Beast Machines, I think. It was very, very awesome to talk to him. Michael, what's Family Wilson been up to since November?
Oh, you know, just holiday stuff. You know, we did Thanksgiving with the family, several families. We went to go visit Santa Claus downtown, and that was nice. Put up the Christmas tree, Christmas stuff outside.
Cats hit frogs.
Yeah. No, there's no... yeah, yes and no. Nothing bad happened between cats and frogs, if that's what you mean. I mean...
The cats ate the frogs.
Well, that happened before we recorded last, so I wasn't going to include that, but... Yeah. There was an incident where the cats knocked over the frog tank and ate the frog. That was back when we only had two frogs, but then... We got three more because apparently the last surviving frog was lonely. So now we have a big 10-gallon tank with four frogs in it.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else you been? Oh, yeah. So the cats kill the frogs, and you got a new TV.
Oh, that happened too. Yeah, we just bought a big TV. A while back, I think we talked about this, our Dish Network box died, and we had to get a new one. But we had this box already for like 7 years, and they said, oh, well, you're due for an upgrade, and our current promotion is, you know, free HD for life. So we're like, heck yeah, I'll take free HD for life, you know, because we wanted HD, but we didn't want to pay, you know, 10, 15 bucks a month for it.
Right.
So we got it, but then it turns out that our TV, you know, we had like a 57-inch projection screen, And it was like, man, the HD doesn't look all that great on this one. We might have to look for a new TV. So, you know, come Black Friday, we started shopping for the deals, and we got a 60-inch plasma that looks really awesome in HD. So that's set up, and that turned out nice. So
I can only imagine what Doof looks like in 60-inch HD quality.
He's 3 feet tall. You know, the shows that aren't made to really be in HD don't look all that great. Like, we've got the DVDs for Superhero Squad, and or season one. And, mm-hmm. You know, there's some blurriness there. It doesn't look all that great. I'm sure that there's better versions, you know, like Blu-ray versions, maybe, that might look better. But, you know, the one we got for the regular DVD, sometimes you can really see the pixelation.
Yeah.
But, you know, so, you get a TV that big, it's like, wow, you know, I can see everything now.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm getting jaded. It's like, man, I don't want to watch anything if it's not in HD now.
Yes. So this is the second to last episode of Beast Unleashed podcast. And what we're doing in this one is basically just a straight Beast Machines recap. We're going to talk about both seasons. We're going to talk about stuff we like, stuff we didn't like, all that good stuff. Me personally, and this one thing I've said, you know, before we even really started the whole idea of the Beast Unleashed podcast is when we get to Beast Machines, whoever is on the podcast with me, whether it's Steve, Michael, whoever at the time was going to be on it. I know Steve was going to be on it, but at the time we hadn't really tapped Mr. Wilson's potential for off-topic and rude jokes. and I told Steve that, you know, basically Steve and I said, you know, he's going to handle the Beast Wars side and I'm going to handle the Beast Machine side. And I told him straight up, I said, dude, there's pretty much no way I'm going to be objective in any of my Beast Machines talk because I love the cartoon so much. I just do. You know, if you set aside all of the little nitpicky issues, if you set aside all of the religious stuff and everything else and all the innuendo and everything else and all that, it's a fairly awesome cartoon just by itself without reading into it. At least that's my opinion of it. So I think I've been fairly objectionable as far as being objective and not leaning too much towards, oh my God, this is awesome, and I don't care what anybody says whatsoever. But this episode, probably, I'm going to lean that way. what about you, Michael?
You know, I'm not entirely sure how I feel about it, because I would like to say that, hey, it's great. And it was. I mean, it was well written, but I think the problem comes in with some of the animation, you know, where they would reuse older material, or where they would cut corners, or you know, like with the flowing water or the flowing ooze or whatnot, things like that really bothered me. The sequential storytelling, where they wanted to tight focus on everybody's faces as opposed to showing you what was going on in the scene. Things like that just rubbed me the wrong way. I don't know if that's something we can blame on the writers, or if we should blame that on the animators, or, you know, the fact that they're shipping all this stuff overseas to be done by a company, you know, in Korea or whatnot. I have no idea. I'm not sure where the blame stands. But when you contrast all of that with, let's say, the writing and execution of the original Beast Wars series, I can't really say that I prefer Beast Machines over Beast Wars. Just because Beast Wars, you know, number one, had all these overarching, you know, story arcs. But it also had fun episodes where you could kick back for a second and catch your breath and go, oh, this is kind of funny, and everybody's a little goofy, wacky.
You know? Like the Low Road.
Well, yeah, and as much as I hate the Low Road, it's true. There was a couple episodes there where it was just like, oh, boy, let's catch our breath and you know, just have fun with the characters. Whereas in Beast Machines, it was just full tilt the whole time. No room for for, you know, let's catch our breath. It's, we got to run because there's Viacons trying to kill us all the time. And the few episodes where they do stop and go, wow, we don't have to run anymore, it got so boring. It's like, man, I just wish they'd run more, because now I'm bored. And I don't know.
You just can't make up your mind.
I just can't. I mean, like I said, the writing, if you take it for what it is, you know, if you listen to the Bob Skier interview, you know, if you take it for what it is, it's a 26-episode sci-fi novel, you know, with a religious bent, you know, written for the screen, then yeah, it was well done, and it's interesting, and they pull that aspect of it off very nicely. But, you know, is it entertaining? Where is my downtime? Where is my funny, silly episodes? It's just not there, and it makes it difficult to enjoy the series as much as I enjoyed Beast Wars.
Well, now, when we talked to Larry DiTilio, he had told us, when we had asked him what would he have done in, say, a Beast Wars Season 4, and he said, well, we probably would have taken them back to Cybertron and seen what happened there. And it's funny enough, that's what happened in Beast Machines. I'm not saying that, you know, that would have happened eventually if Beast Wars had continued, but, I mean, technically Beast Machines is a sequel. Same characters, same planet, same overall mythology. And for me, the entire Beast era cartoon type of continuity, it all flows. You know, we've all said this before. G1 is basically broken up episodes here and there. You know, they're all, except for like a lot of the like multi-parters, they're all pretty much one-shot stories.
Right.
Whereas Beast Wars and Beast Machines, you have straight continuity through both series.
Well, I would argue against that, actually, because, I mean, Bob Skier himself said, we didn't watch Transformers, we didn't watch Beast Machines, we wrote this on its own. And true, right, it's the same characters, but when you watch that first season and a half, let's say, of Beast Machines, you can tell they're not the same characters. Rat Trap didn't really become more like Rat Trap until closer to the end of the second season. Cheetor changes a lot, but we're used to Cheetor evolving as he gets older and wiser and becomes a leader. And that kind of works itself in. But if you look at Optimus. If you look at Optimus Primal, he's not the same character as in Beast Wars at all. He sounds the same. He's a monkey, but he's not the same character. You know, I mean, well, yes, there is a flow there. Yes, it's the same characters and they're back on Cybertron, but it's not I don't think it's even in the same vein as Beast Wars.
See, I disagree because, you know, even though Bob Skier said in the interview that we did, he basically said that they didn't go back and watch. They said that they didn't want them to go back and watch. You know, he also said that it is a sequel to the previous series. And it's one of those things where, yes, there is slight differences in the character stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's still an evolution. You have at the end of Beast Wars, at the end of Nemesis Part 2, when they're going back to Cybertron, you think everything's going to be hunky-dory, Megatron's going to be captured, blah, 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 blah. You pick it up in Beast Machines where, holy crap, they fumbled the ball at the 3-yard line, and Megatron's won. Megatron's in control. Megatron killed the entire species. You know,
just so far-fetched. I don't know.
It's not. I don't think it's far-fetched. I mean, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Steve, what about you?
What do I think it's far-fetched?
No, the continuity between Beast Wars and Beast Machines. We're arguing over whether Beast Machines fits into the Beast Wars, whether the two series fit together, regardless that Bob Skier that they hadn't watched the previous series.
I think it fits pretty well, except for the fact that they didn't mesh part of the characters from their previous. I mean, they kind of just started off as the same character, but personality-wise, some of them had regressed or had a complete role reversal.
Right.
So, I mean, it made you feel for some of these characters, whereas before you were like, Like, you know, you knew Rat Trap was the comedian of the group. You knew that, you know, Primal wasn't out of his gourd. I mean, just, you know, little hints like that. I mean, they did a lot of 360s of certain characters. So, I mean, and then they made Megatron even more menacing, which isn't bad. It's just the way they went about a lot of the character changes. Like, Megatron didn't go yes, or he didn't talk to himself like a maniac anymore. I mean, with you being the only person around, you'd think that you'd still be talking to yourself. Because he did say something in Beast Wars about having a knack for wanting to have intelligent conversations, so he talks to himself.
A penchant for intelligent conversation.
Yes. So, yeah. I mean, it all kinds of feeds back into that. But, I mean, they did correct it towards the end of Beast Machines, but...
Well, I mean, and the other thing is about this, about Beast Machines specifically, is it is the darker toner series. It's not... I mean, they specifically set out to have it darker and not have... you know, rubber duckies and you know, Energon farts and all that stuff.
Thank God.
What?
Huh?
What'd you say?
Thank God for no Energon.
Everything leads back to the low road.
Maybe in your world, especially when it comes to Arby's, but anyways.
Hey. Anyways.
I have that magical card, and I'm going to play it, motherfucker.
You better be bleeping that every time now. Anyways.
Arby's.
Bleepity bleep bleep bleep. Michael has no idea what we're talking about. Anyway.
I can only imagine. I can almost tell from the context of...
You don't want to know.
I'm sure.
I'll fill you in on the...
But anyways.
Yeah, see, now for me, I think Arby's is fine. It's when you get in a Steak and Shake, which I affectionately read.
But anyway, we're getting off topic here.
Steak and shit? What?
Hey, shut up, Steve.
It does have to do with the old low road.
Anyways, shut up. My overall thoughts on Beast Machines is, you know, like I said in the Scare interview when I told him this, I said that, you know, I watched this, like, as soon as I get the DVD in the mail, I put it in and I watched it for, you know, I watched all 26 episodes in a day and a half. This is one cartoon.
Wait.
Whenever I get in the mood. What?
Way too much free time.
Whatever. Anyway. Whenever I get in the mood to watch this cartoon, I can watch it straight through. I don't need any breaks. You know, regardless of what Michael thinks about the fire and all that stuff and the animation, I thought it was really awesome animation. There is several points of character development that I don't like, but there's also a lot of good character development that I do like. Specifically, Cheetor growing up. As far as favorite episodes, I was looking through our schedule list and I'm like, all of them. There's really not an episode that I just on a pure enjoyment factor, there really isn't a single episode in the entire two seasons that I don't enjoy watching. For reviewers' sake, I'd probably have to say I could have done without The Catalyst, maybe, or Forbidden Fruit, which Forbidden Fruit I think was where Night Scream premiered.
That one was kind of, I don't want to say a throwaway episode. I don't think any of them were really throwaway episodes.
You couldn't have a throwaway episode. No. I mean, I'm not saying that there were throwaways. I'm saying that there's probably ones that I could have done without seeing. But no, there are no throwaways. It's, you know, it starts with the reformatting, goes all the way down to Endgame, and it's one straight shot. There's no veering off to the low road.
That's a good thing.
Yes. So, Michael, what are some of your favorite episodes from Beast Machines?
Oh, man, I hate them all. I really liked the reformatting when they first reintroduced the characters. Because at that point, you know, you're not really... You know, you're being reintroduced to these characters that you know and love, and they haven't quite had a chance to ruin them yet. Mm-hmm. So I liked that. I really liked the Weak Component. You know,
Rat Trap episode.
Yeah, I mean, that visually, that was just an amazing episode.
It was.
Yeah, it was just really, really good. And, you know, a good Rat Trap episode every now and then is kind of nice. And I like the, I really like the Spark War three-parter. I like when they introduced, you know, the two new generals. I think that those two characters, Obsidian and Stryka, could really use more exposure. I'd like to see them, you know, played with a bit more in the future.
Well, Stryka got more exposure, even though it was only less than 5 minutes.
Yeah,
in season
like all the 5 minutes. Yeah, she was.
Yeah, but I mean, at least she got more, slightly more exposure.
Yeah, I like that. But you know, I, as many times as they repainted Obsidian, you'd think that you know, one of those incarnations would have ended up, you know, somewhere and doing something. But no, I liked those. I wasn't really thrilled with let's, you know, start from the beginning. Didn't like Night Scream. Probably could have, you know, thrown that character out completely and still had a decent show. I was kind of iffy on the whole Savage Noble concept. I like it for what it was. You know, the cast off organic remains of Megatron, but I didn't so much like the way he was used, or the way he died, for that matter.
Yeah.
And lastly, I don't think I liked anything about the last episode.
Really?
Yeah, really. I mean, I like the fact that, wow, now it's just you and me now, and we're gonna fight this out to the death, and then they both die. You know, I mean, that's interesting, and the whole reformatting of Cybertron, yeah, it's interesting. I don't like the way they did it. I think they could have done it better. Maybe from an animation standpoint, you know, maybe if it were better animation, I wouldn't have minded the horrible purple flowers. I wouldn't have minded the multitudes of weird silhouettes kind of running over a hill that was supposed to be the horizon. It's like, how big is this planet exactly if this is the horizon and these people are that big? And they're all running sideways. You know, it could have been better. You would expect something like that to be more epic, and to me it just wasn't handled very well. And then, hey, our leader dies. Oh yeah, well, that's supposed to happen, you know?
Twice.
Because
he died the first time at the where he was stuck in the Oracle.
Right. The monkey in a bottle. I just really think it could have been handled better. And again, I don't want to blame the writers. I don't want to say that. Well, clearly it's all Bob's fault. You know, I'm. A lot of this probably has to do with the way it was animated, and I really felt that they had cut corners, and that maybe some of these episodes could have been more enjoyable if we could have actually seen what was going on, or, you know, weren't distracted by some heavy pixelation from reused stuff from the previous series, or things like that. And I hate to beat a dead horse, but like I said, it makes it hard to enjoy. I really enjoyed... you know, like I said, some of the characters a lot, some of the characters not so much, some of the things that they were doing not so much. You know, why is Optimus Prime still taking advice from his computer deity if he knows for a fact that it's been lying to him all along? like I said, that's a beat a dead horse. I'm just going on
Steve?
And on and on. Feel free to tell me to shut up. Yeah.
Shut up.
All right.
Steve?
Yes.
Overall thoughts, favorite episodes?
My overall thoughts is the series as a whole was good except for the fake fire, which looked more like shockwaves of different colored light.
Plasma.
Yes. I did like some of the character designs, mostly on the Viet Cong side. And as far as Megatron, like the Maximals, I could... some of them I could give two shits less. And I wasn't a big fan of the whole I am transformed every single damn clip.
That was only the first season.
Yeah, but
yeah.
It was a horrible gimmick. So, anyways,
having them announce every attack. Super yeah. chest pizza attack. You know, do that five times.
But
yeah.
But yeah. So I mean, in that sense, it was kind of lame. And then as for favorite episodes, I liked the reformatting because they showed their old, you know, like a re-envisioned Beast Machines or Beast Wars version. I liked the Master of the House with Megatron reemerging in his menacing tone.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they brought back various Beast Wars characters, even though they were a bit dark. The exception of Waspinator, who turned kind of like, oh, I'm cool, I'm a motorcycle. Chicks dig motorcycles. And then I like the Endgame Part 3. I mean, I like the beginning and the end. It was pretty much unanimous between those that those were my favorite.
Yeah. And that's as much as Mike has.
Mike has crickets.
I think he fell asleep.
No, I didn't fall asleep. Yeah, I mean, the thing of it is we're you know, the previous 28 episodes, we've been looking at Beast Wars and Beast Machines, and obviously we're just talking about Beast Machines specifically here, but I mean, we've been looking at it at a reviewer's standpoint. I think that outside of a reviewer's standpoint, like I said before, outside of, you know, taking everything into consideration and nitpicking at it, they're both good series. Beast Machines, for me, I just enjoy more because it is a darker series. Yes, I do enjoy Beast Wars, and we'll talk about that in episode 30, in the final episode, but I don't know. I disagree with you guys on the animation. Yes, I will agree the fire effects are slightly meh, but I think the animation overall in this is great.
Right. I mean, it was supposed to be stylized. That was the point. You know, does it look good? maybe not. Did it look good, you know, in oh God, what was it, 1999? Yeah, sure, for 1999 it looked good. I guess the argument could be made for, you know, again, for Beast Wars in 1996, it looked good. Yeah, it looked good. Sure. You know, were we amazed in 99 by Beast Machines? Well, I was. And like I said, when I first saw the weak component on television, on the TV, I was just blown away at how gorgeous it was. You know, I mean, but again, like I said, that was early on yet. They hadn't had time to ruin it for me.
What else do we want to bring up about Beast Machines? I've pretty much gone through my notes.
Talk about how great the music is again.
Oh, God, yeah. The music is just crazy good. It's just awesome.
It is, yeah.
I mean, seriously, you could take every single musical cue from the series that they did through every episode and just take out all the sound effects, take out all the voice acting, just have it musically and just musically tell the story of every episode, and it would be twice as awesome, I think.
Well, you can't get rid of the sound effects. I mean,
sure you can.
Yeah, no, I do like the music. You know, I mean, we were actually having this conversation before about Phineas and Ferb. Like, whoa, what do you think of the music? Oh, it's awesome! And I was like, it's hit or miss, you know? You know, some of it's okay, some of it's not okay. But I mean, for that, they have different genres of music and you know, short ditties and longer bits. But for Beast Machines, it's just one band. And, you know, they may have come up with, like, certain bits of theme music for individual characters that sounded good, but then you've got, you know, even the song that they play when they're running away, same song every damn time, and they run away every episode. It gets monotonous, but by itself, it's a good. It sounds good. I mean, I would definitely groove out to the soundtrack. If one exists.
That's the one issue I have with Beast Machines. There is no soundtrack.
Right.
I so wish that that we could find a way to get every piece of music from Beast Machines, but there's I don't know if there's any audio software out there that would allow us to rip just the musical cues, because they're just amazing. I mean, I've never really been a big electronica type of fan. I like some stuff, like the Batman Beyond theme and the music in Batman Beyond, and that's a whole other subject.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's that same type of music here where you have electronica and you have that kind of techno stuff. And I really dig it. It fits the series, and I really enjoy it. And like I said, I wish that there was a way to get a soundtrack for this.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yes, Steve?
Oh, I agree.
Steve hated the music. Hated it.
No, I liked it. If I could get a soundtrack of it, I would.
Yeah.
And then I'd put it behind everything.
Exactly. Steve, what are some of your favorite episodes out of the two seasons of Beast Machines?
The Reformatting Master of the House and Endgame Part 2, 3.
What about Spark of Darkness?
I like that one for its interesting humor, with various dead Beast Wars characters being used.
And Megadrone?
No, Megatron.
No, yeah, Megadrone.
No.
Yes, Megadrone was in Spark of Darkness.
No.
Yes, he was.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying.
You didn't find Megatron and the drone body funny?
Meh. It was alright.
God.
A tough crowd.
Yeah, really. Holy crap. Wow. Alrighty then. Yikes. Overall, you know, as I said before, if you don't read into it and you just watch it as a cartoon, I find it enjoyable. I'm very glad that we've gotten a chance to do, and we are the only people to do in-depth reviews of both series. And of course, as I said a second ago, when we get to episode 30, we will be talking about both series on a whole, both the series and the toys. God, that's going to be a long episode, and Michael's going to kill us for it. Do we have anything else we want to bring up for Beast Machines? I mean, I don't feel that we've left anything out as far as our opinions, but I just feel that we haven't said enough, maybe? I don't know.
I would almost say if you took this episode and listened to it in conjunction with the Bob Skeer interview, that's pretty much all the Beast Machines you're ever going to want to listen to ever again. So.
Well, to be fair, the Bob Skeer interview is going to be coming right before this episode, so they would have already listened to it. So it's gonna go episode 28, Larry DiTillio, Bob Skeer, and then episode 29.
Oh. In for a treat,
or whatever it was. Yeah. All right. Crap! I'm losing my train of thought here.
It's left the building.
Woo-woo! Oh, crap.
I watch way too much the train stuff on TV. So if it's Choo Choo Soul on Disney or what's the other show? Dinosaur Train? Dinosaur Train. We watch way
too much. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, you don't have kids yet, so yeah.
I'm not ever having kids.
Well, Steve, anyways, you don't have kids yet, so of course you have.
There is no yet.
What?
Wait, what was that, Megatron?
He's talking about the mushroom print.
I said badger, mushroom.
Oh, God. No badgers.
Not today.
All right, so one of the things I do want to bring up, and I will bring this up again as I said in the next episode when we do episode 30 on the full recap, I love the Beast Machines DVD set, not only for the having the cartoon itself, but for the fact that you have such great special features on here. You've got interviews with David Kay, Susan Blue, Marv Wolfman, and Bob Skeer. You've got commentaries with Marv Wolfman, Bob Skeer, and Stephen Melching. Just overall great DVD set. I wish they could have done more with the Beast Wars sets. Unfortunately, they didn't. But yeah, I love this DVD set. So awesome.
That reminds me, I'm going to have to go back and watch those special features again. And I probably should have in preparation for this show. But, you know, to be honest, my Beast Wars, at this point, my Beast Wars and Beast Machines DVDs are buried behind our Disney DVD collection.
Well, dig them out.
Yeah.
Have Phineas and Ferb make you a DVD finder-inator.
Exactly. I had to dig past all we've got maybe, 30, 35 different Disney shows now and on DVD, because we somehow ended up on the Disney DVD of the Month Club. And my kids love, Disney shows. But, yeah, I had to dig past all of those in order to get the new Star Trek movie. Because this is one of the few films that I own on Blu-ray. I wanted to watch that on my giant-ass TV.
All right, so final thoughts on Beast Machines, Steve.
Excellent follow-up to Beast Wars, and a very welcome addition to the Transformers franchise. Definitely a must-watch.
Michael?
The exact opposite of what he said.
I agree with Steve, so Michael's outnumbered 2-1. All right. Thank you for joining us here on the Beast Unleashed podcast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each episode post. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Oh, hey, guess what? We have iTunes feedback. I almost completely freaking forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yes, so before I continue with the outro, we actually have, I have to thank Alex Ricci, I believe is how it's said, kind of like Christina Ricci. I don't know, Alex, if I'm screwing your last name up, please let me know. He found us through Twig when he was listening to Twig, and then I had joined them, and he found us through them. Alex lives in Canada, and he was kind enough to screen cap the Canadian Beast Unleashed podcast reviews.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so Steve, take it away.
Alrighty, first one is a 5-star. It was from August. It says great so far by Brundlefly77. It says, hey you guys, this podcast sounds like it could have great potential. Make some more episodes. Of course, that was last year. So. Which
yes.
Is weird because I don't think we even started this one until December. Last year, 2009.
When did the...
This is August 2009.
Really?
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Maybe we had the episode 0 up.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
That could
possible.
Be.
Not
yeah,
sure.
That could be. But anyways, the next one is Seriously Epic 5 Stars by Ian Kennelly. October 11th, 2010. Says, hey guys, serious props on the show. Love all the jokes, dark humor, and downright dirty hilarity that you bring to each and every episode. The amount of insight you also bring into the picture has given me a lot more info into the show than I had before, mostly because I had never seen G1 because it was made before my time. Sorry if I make you feel old. Haha. And with this info, I gain a better understanding of the events in the show. Finally, I feel sorry for Megatron having been killed and buried in Michael's backyard so many times.
Nice.
It was only once.
Practically twice.
Almost happened a couple times, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cut the guy a break.
Well, if Megatron would stop sleeping on the job.
Go to hell. Yes. Says, cut the guy a break. He might be evil, but he's got rights, you know. LOL.
No, he doesn't.
The hell I do.
That's funny.
I bury you in Arby's.
By the way, I think you may have screwed the recording for the first episode up, because Mike introduced the first episode you were reviewing as a different title than I thought it was supposed to be. Anyways, keep up the good work, because it's awesome.
First episode was? I'm going to have to go back. Before we do the episode 30, the full recap, I'm going to have to go back and actually listen to all 29 episodes to make sure I didn't screw anything up.
Yes, you baby back bitch.
Fuck you, Megatron.
Take it straight to the pit.
Why don't you go play with your whore Barney?
Take it in the ass. X is down there. Yes, ask Depth Charge. He'll set off a magical space pizza bomb down there.
All right, so we also have one from the U.S. store. And again, thank you very much, Alex. I'm actually going to tap Alex every time I want him to check the Canadian iTunes store if we have any new reviews for them, for any of our shows. This one is Beast Wars with an exclamation point after Wars. It is a 4-star review. It was written on November 27th, 2010 by Kitty666.
I read that.
The good.
I actually put a like on that review because it was so well written.
Yeah. I don't really like the bad, but the good, the only dedicated Beast Wars podcast. You can tell that the hosts know that they are talking about and that they love the source material. Pulling quotes and clips from the shows is a great feature. Steve Megatron is brilliant. They go pretty far into the source material. It's a great, in a great way. The bad. Sound quality with the host can be a bit bad, especially if listening to this in the car. If you haven't seen the show episodes in a while, then sometimes it can be hard to keep up. The hosts tend to make a lot of references in their other shows and blogs, Facebook, Twitter, etc., without much explanation, leaving the listeners sometimes very confused. I read this to Steve earlier today before we recorded this episode, and I was like, when do we ever mention Facebook or Twitter except in, like, general chat or the outro?
I think a lot of times, like, in the intro where, especially I do this a lot, where you'll mention something about, oh, hey, you got a big-ass TV, and I'll say, oh, yeah, I wrote about that in my blog. But, you know, there's no links or anything to my blog anywhere. Well, I suppose if you went to the website and then followed the link, that I don't think there is a link that goes to the about page or to the host page, and then looked on that page, that might have a link to my blog. But otherwise, you know, if you're just casually listening to the show through iTunes, you'd have no idea.
Right, but I mean, the whole point of the general chat and the outro is, first of all, general chat is exactly that. It's general chat, it's catching up, because at the time, and I know Michael doesn't like this, but at the time, originally, it was going to be every other Monday that we were going to record, release Beast Unleashed, and then I switched it to weekly because I had this whole idea of, oh, why don't we end it 1 year after we started it? And I know Michael doesn't like that, but whatever.
It makes sense, sure, okay.
Well, no, I know it makes sense because it was my idea and I'm a genius.
You
know, but
writing, oh, God. But, yeah, and your opinion is always right.
That's right.
To the ugly.
But we would like to thank everybody both in Canada and the U.S. For writing reviews for Beast Unleashed. If anyone wants to get in on the voicemails, you better call in between now and next Thursday, which
voicemail.
Next Thursday is what?
I don't know.
It's that day. It's the night.
Yeah. Yeah. Shut up, Steve. Yeah. All voicemails, we must receive them before December 9th. If anyone wants to get back in on the show for any more comments or feedback, because once we record and publish episode 30, Beast Unleashed is done. And I know Steve is very sad about that.
It was a good run.
Hey, it was a very good run. You can become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. Call our voicemail line, 502-526-5821.
Join the voicemail line.
No.
Tap it just a few times.
Yeah, we'll get into tap later. We actually still have to convince Michael.
Tap, tap, tap.
Yeah. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast. Join us next time when we will be recapping the entire Beast era with Beast Wars and Beast Machines, both the cartoons and the toys.
Good lord.
Yes, exactly. For now, I am TFG on Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips
and Michael Wilson.
And for the second to last time that we record a Beast Unleashed episode, Megatron closed the show.
Don't you wish I would close it correctly this time?
Yeah, for once, asshat.
Bitch.
Are you done yet?
I don't know. Why don't you come closer so I can yell it in your ear?
Why don't you go stick your rubber ducky up Barney's ass?
I have a comment for you, you little baby back bitch. Go take your Arby's and your McDonald's to the bank. Yes.
Baby
back. You fit them both in,
you asshole.
R2-D2 will fly overhead.
Oh, God.
R2-D2 is making the Arby's run.
On you all. Excellent. Yes.
Until next time. See you, folks.